You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Adams should do it. Kings don't even have to advance it beyond the midcourt line. Buddy Hield with the final couple of dribbles, and this one is in the books. Sacramento with an 8-point victory, 106-98. After losing the last three games to teams with similar records, the Kings bounce back, force 26 turnovers in this ball game, and they get just enough production to make this a win, 106-98.
And happy Monday, everybody. Welcome into another edition of Locked On Kings. Hopefully everybody had a wonderful weekend, enjoyed the NBA and certainly the NFL playoffs. And speaking of that, you want to find out what are the odds of the Saints going forward and the Titans, all the winners this weekend, whether you talk about the Falcons or Jacksonville and their next matchup, check out all those Locked On networks. Also NBA, you want a preview of tonight's Kings-Spurs game, check out what's going on Locked On Spurs. We have it for you here on the entirety of the network. I know that you guys listen to Locked On Kings, but check out the other podcasts as well and see what's going on and other things we've got. Locked On Fantasy, Locked On NBA. So the network is widespread, and if there's breaking news on a team, you might want to go to that Locked On because you will get the very latest on what's going on in that market, specifically just like we try to do here with Locked On Kings. So the Kings tonight will play the San Antonio Spurs for the second time in two games. They'll have the benefit of playing a team on the second night of a back-to-back. So kind of with that said, let's look back at the game that the Kings won over the weekend on Saturday. And a couple of really intriguing things by the game. You heard the highlight coming into the final call of the win, 106-98. All I wanted to see from the Sacramento Kings, we talked about it at the tail end of last week, was effort. Effort, energy, fire, passion, those kind of things defensively. Offensively, this team has been okay lately. Defensively, they've been a mess. The last three games of the homestand, they'd lost by an average of 16 games per, 48 points, the margin of defeat in the last three games. And to be not competitive for the most part against Memphis and Charlotte, no excuse for that. They were competitive against Phoenix, but didn't play very well. And, of course, they played a great game against Cleveland. So it's been an uneven homestand, and then the Kings back it up with a strong performance against the Denver Nuggets. They'll close it out with maybe the best team or second-best team they're playing on the homestand, the San Antonio Spurs tonight. Front end of a back-to-back for the Kings, too, by the way, because they will play Tuesday in L.A. against the Lakers. But I do want to look back at the game on Saturday because, you know, a couple things coming into the game before we hear our highlight montage. I was mentioning the rough performance that this team had been given the last couple of games. Garrett Temple, super critical of the defensive performance. So the Kings spent a lot of time in practice, 3 days of practice. Thought they might get a day off, but they didn't. They practiced for 3 days, worked on a lot of things, worked on... I knew they would have a stronger effort. I just knew it. I didn't know that they could beat Denver. And then when news came out earlier in the day that the Kings were going to not have Zach Randolph and they were not going to have George Hill for differing reasons, George Hill with his wife being pregnant, and Zach expecting a baby, Zach Randolph had oral surgery again. So the numbers were bleak. This season, prior to the game on Saturday, without George Hill, the Kings were 1-3. Without Zebo, they've lost all three games they played. There was one game where they both didn't play together, and that one was back on October 29th when they hosted the Washington Wizards and they started that young lineup. Everybody's kind of excited about that. Well, with all these bad losses, believe it or not, that was their worst home loss of the year back then. They lost by 27 points. So it wasn't looking good to me coming in. It wasn't looking good because the matchup this year, they've been blown out twice by Denver. And Denver, for the most part, with the exception of Millsap, had everybody. So I didn't really like the Kings' odds, but I wanted my only goal, my only hope for the game, honestly, was for them to be in the game in the fourth quarter. And they got off to a good start, and they continued that on. But we'll talk more about that coming up. But I do want to get you a chance to listen to how it played out Saturday night in front of a sellout crowd at Golden One Center.
Malachi, oh, shoot that. Goes inside instead for an alley-oop, and Willie Cauley-Stein fouled, I believe, as he hammered down the left baseline rip. 8 points for Cauley-Stein and a chance for nine on the nice setup from Malachi Richardson. I was mildly chastising him because I thought he's wide open, shoot that. Malachi is a respectable perimeter shooter, but he had a better idea in mind. Here's a wide open Malachi three, and he scores it. That's why we were saying shoot that ball a moment ago. Michael Malone taking another timeout. Inside 4 minutes to go in the first quarter, and the Kings, who have certainly taken their lumps in the last three games on this homestand, have got everybody engaged in the early minutes of this one. Deflection, Carter, grabbed by Garrett Temple. Temple races up the floor. He's going to the rack. Look at him get off his feet and take it to the window. Great job of explosive activity there by Garrett Temple on the poke away by Vince Carter. Turnover number 11 by Denver. Denver has their hands on the ball, and they turn it over at midcourt. Willie Cauley-Stein with a steal, a breakaway, and a two-hand flush. Boy, Michael Malone has just got to be beside himself in disbelief. 16 turnovers, more than what they average per game. And the Kings exploit that one to make it 48-41. Cauley-Stein with that bucket now has 12 points. Calling for the ball is Jokic. Here's a steal, however, by Fox. He flips it ahead to Malachi. Got a Kings 4-on-1. Malachi goes solo and he misses. But it's tipped in. Scalabissiere got a hand on it. Here comes the Nuggets back. Over the shoulder, chased down, blocked by Labissiere. Goes out of bounds. Denver will maintain the possession. Well, you talk about hustling up the floor after getting a tip in for the bucket. Scal races back and chases down Denver's Jamal Murray. Here's a steal by Cauley-Stein. It's a career high. Sixth steal in this ball game. Great job by Willie defensively. Here's Fox trying to create. He's fouled. Kings with 5 and a fraction seconds to go. 77-71. Lead pass to Bogdanovich. Finds Costa. Got the jam. Oh, what a find from Bogdanovich with just 1 second left. Here's Barton with a desperate heave from behind the midcourt line. Would not have counted. Didn't make it anyhow. So we go to the fourth quarter. The Kings have held Denver to 71 points. Hoagie with a left-hand dribble, moves toward the left side, throws back to the right to Carter. Quick launch for three. He's feeling it. Vince Carter goes into the glide. Kings have their biggest lead of the evening as he knocks down the triple. It's 84-71, and Michael Malone takes an early fourth quarter timeout. Here's Bogdanovich being pressured by Barton. Lost it, got it back. 8 on the clock. Screen from Willie. Goes left into a double team. Finds Cauley-Stein. 3 in the clock. Got to create. Drive, spin, reach, score! Willie Cauley-Stein in a great sequence from a big bucket. Of course, right now they're all big for Sacramento at 94-89 and inside 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Here comes Barton back quickly. Thought he was going to attack, but he was sealed off by Heald. Has to give it up now to Murray. Murray goes inside to Jokic. Has the ball knocked out of his hands by Willie Cauley-Stein. It's grabbed by Bogdanovich. Turnover number 24 by Denver. Here's Vince straight away in rhythm for three. Rims it. Bounces high and settles in. Kings fans jumping up and down. A ton of them came to their feet.
Well, lots of good highlights, and it really stemmed from the defensive performance. And in my breakdown of the game, it's pretty simple. If you look at what happened in Charlotte, the last game the Kings played, gave up a season-high 131 points, only created 3 turnovers. That was an NBA best by any team this year. Only got 1 steal. You heard Willie and the call there by the G-man, a career-high steals. At the moment, he added 1 more. He had 7 steals. The team had 16. They forced a season best for them, 26 turnovers. Turn that into 40 points. And they did it really from the get-go. Denver had 5 turnovers in the game's first 3 minutes. They had 10 turnovers after one quarter. So Sacramento was being aggressive. They were getting in the passing lanes. And they were doing things they had not been doing on the homestand. Now, the other thing that was great about the way the game played out, the Kings, for the first time all season, never trailed in a game. They had 1 tie at 27 apiece, but led 29-27 after one, and they ended up having one of those quarters that we've been talking about that kill you, those killer quarters, quarters in the teens. It happened in the second quarter. But here's where the lesson is. The Kings scored 17. That's a brutal quarter. They only gave up 14. They won the quarter because their defense was strong. They had the attention and the effort and the energy on that side, and they got away with having a bad quarter like that offensively. Then they finished with 33-27 in the third and fourth and won it 106-98. But the defensive energy, I thought, maintained. Denver just started to make more shots. Their three-pointers were falling. And if you look at what the Kings did, it's a game in which they didn't shoot the ball that well. 44% for Sacramento is not a great number. They only made 9 of 25 from 3. They got out-rebounded by 7, but what was the difference? Plus 17 in turnovers. 17 fewer turnovers, scored 26 more points off of those turnovers by Denver, and they were able to get a lot of guys playing well. 7 players in double figures, led by De'Aaron Fox, who had 18. Willie Cauley-Stein was 17. Buddy Hield, 14, 12 apiece for Vince Carter. Garrett Temple had just 2 points, but 12 for Kosta Kufis, 11 for Bogdanovich, and also 12 for Scal, 8 for Malachi Richardson. Now, without Zebo, without George Hill, Dave Yeager elected to go to yet another different starting lineup, and this was a young one. Malachi Richardson, Scalabissier, Willie Cauley-Stein, Buddy Hield, and De'Aaron Fox. I'm going to kind of take each guy one by one because I know a lot of you feel like that's part of the future of this team. And I'm going to start with De'Aaron Fox. I was thrilled that the scenario played out this way. Not that I was happy that Frank Mason was hurt and that George Hill was gone for personal reasons, but the fact that De'Aaron Fox was going to play a ton. And I felt like he played differently. He said afterwards that he had his best practices all 3 days of the season. But in 35 minutes, he didn't have to look over his shoulder. He could make mistakes. He knew that he was going to get a lot of the run at point guard. Bogdanovich was the other guy that played some point. But he played a majority of the game. He had a career-high 8 free throw attempts, so he was aggressive. He got to the basket, made 6 of those free throw attempts. 6 of 11 from the floor, ran a good floor game, though. 3 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, had 4 turnovers, so it wasn't perfect, but certainly was good. One off his career high with 18 points, and we need more days like that from De'Aaron Fox to feel good about the future of him and certainly about this Sacramento Kings team. So I liked his game. He didn't take any three-pointers. A lot of his jumpers were foul line or in. He had a couple of floaters, a couple of foul line jumpers, and he was just getting to the basket, was aggressive. I don't know if he had comfortability with Jamal Murray, but he looked to attack him quite a bit, and I thought De'Aaron Fox had a good game. Now, his backcourt mate, Buddy Hield, doesn't always start, started this game. Buddy wasn't perfect either. Buddy had a tough shooting day, made some big baskets though when they needed, hit 4 threes, all of them in the second half. Still rebounds pretty well for a guard, had 5 boards, 2 assists, did not turn the ball over, scored 14. I expected, honestly, a little bit more out of Buddy, but he didn't hurt him, and he scores in those bunches, and they needed him when he had that hot run going in the second half. We go to the front court. Malachi Richardson got another start. That hasn't started much. I thought he was tentative at times, but other times looked pretty solid. I honestly don't know that I have a strong feeling one way or the other about Malachi's long-term future. I haven't been blown away by stuff he does, but I also haven't been looking at it where I go, well, he's got to go. Not that situation. I would still give him more time, but I'm not seeing the huge bright spots for him in the future. But again, still year 2, didn't play a ton of basketball in year 1. Give him more time and see where he can go. Scalabissier. This is the one mystery that's going on with the team that I kind of wish I could ask Dave Yeager or someone would have in the postgame. But Scal played nearly 16 minutes. Coach Yeager said he actually played one of his best games he's ever seen. And he had 12 points, 4 rebounds. He had a steal, 3 blocks, including some great chase down block that you heard in the highlight package. But he played about 8 minutes and didn't play the rest of the game, half. Played about 8 minutes in the second half and didn't play the rest. I don't know if there's a minute limit on him, but he has played well recently in a couple of games, and the minutes still end up being in that 15 to 16 range. Now, following up on that, part of it was Kosta did play well, and so was Willie. The other guys that kind of played front court or they went small, and Vince Carter, the other guys played well, but I just wish Scal would have played a little bit more. And then we'll finish at the center position. Willie Cauley-Stein, the only thing he did wrong was get in foul trouble. But Willie is getting more and more comfortable offensively, makes some really good athletic spin moves. He is really the perfect kind of front court player in the present day NBA. He can guard a lot of people on switches. He can move quickly. I'm expecting his game to expand a little bit further out with jump shots in the years to come where he can maybe shoot some threes. But he's nice. Willie did some good things. 7 steals shows how active he was. 17 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Willie is the one guy really on the roster that can kind of do everything. And it was interesting, post-game, Garrett Temple said he was the best perimeter or best defender on the team, which to me it still is probably Garrett, but it's pretty interesting that Garrett Temple chose to say that about Willie Cauley-Stein. So all in all, good things from the Sacramento Kings, and I was pleased, definitely pleased to see them get back in the win column. Now, a couple of things that Coach Yeager said after the game. I didn't have his audio for you today, but I have some notes from what he said. In his post game, he talked about the young guys need to, quote, find the grind. And what he meant by that is, you know, a lot of these guys are still playing, you know, year one or year two of professional basketball, and it really is a grind. And it's hard, it's easier to get up for the Warriors, for the Cavs, for the teams that you're impressed by that you think are great, but you have to find the grind against Memphis, against Phoenix, against Denver, the other teams that, you know, are closer to your record, closer to your talent level. You have to be professional night in and night out. It's not easy, and you have to play at a high level, high energy level for longer minutes and more games, and coach is still looking for that. He also talked about how they needed to play with that sense of urgency. He felt they did, and he commented, too, on the game of Bogdan Bogdanović, who continues to get better and better, 11 points, 5 assists off the bench. Talked about how he's not a shooter. He's a playmaker who can shoot, and I kind of agree with that. I mean, Bogey will make shots, but he is a playmaker. He's a decision maker, and the Kings did a good job making their decisions, tying for their season low 9 turnovers. Some other numbers I think you might like. Kings, just the 11th time they've held an opponent under 100. And the team, you know, with those 16 steals, forced 26 turnovers. That was a season best in that department. So now the homestand is 2-3. Still not great, but you look at the what they are capable of, I think, is what we've seen here, right? A good win against a Denver team that's better than them record-wise. And I think the comparison of the two teams is an interesting one. I'm not that high on the Denver Nuggets, though I am impressed how much they've won without Paul Millsap. I don't see a lot of very, very high-skilled players. I see some good players, though. I like Lyles. I like Murray. Gary Harris is nice. Jokic. Millsap. I mean, they've moved on from Emmanuel Mudiay. Kenneth Faried barely plays anymore. But I don't see this incredible team. They're well-coached, and they play hard. So what's the difference between the Nuggets and the Kings? The Denver Nuggets are just more consistent. And what have the Kings shown us just on these 5 games? They have shown us they are more than capable of getting blown out when they're not focused, when they're not sharp, when they're not paying attention to details on defense. Memphis got them that way. Charlotte got them that way. They also have shown us that they could play some pretty good basketball. They did that against Cleveland. I still think that's their best game of the year. I don't think this Denver game was their best game, but they played well. They deserved to win, led the whole game, and they got the win. So I think that shows you the entirety of what they're capable of. That's frustrating, but that's really what this team can do. Just about anything, and that's good, and that's bad. So they win at 106-98. Now, tonight, they're going to take on a team that doesn't beat themselves. Don't expect 26 turnovers from the San Antonio Spurs. Kings just faced them right before Christmas, and San Antonio got them. Kings hung with them, played well, but you know, San Antonio knows how to execute when they need it, knows how to take something away from you that you're trying to get going, and they're extremely well coached. And the other thing, they've been through every single scenario. So Kings are still living these different scenarios that they're trying to go through, learn from. San Antonio has been through all of that. So in the end, if they somehow beat San Antonio tonight, it would be a productive homestand, yet frustrating knowing that they had 3 quality wins but 3 bad losses. If they lose, all right, you move on, get ready, and try to beat the Lakers on Tuesday. Then you get the Clippers coming in on Thursday. So the schedule, after having 3 days off, goes 3 in 4 days coming up for the Sacramento Kings, starting with tonight against San Antonio, tomorrow the Lakers, and then the Clippers back on Thursday. So it's a wild thing. The NBA is funny. You never know what to expect, but the Kings got a nice win over the weekend over Denver, 106-98. We'll be back tomorrow to recap the Kings and the Spurs. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you had a great weekend and look forward to a great week ahead as you're listening here to Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.